Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The rough is extra thick this week on Primetime with Isaac and Sue. This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
U.S. Open Week on Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080.
Well, they were regrettable years.
The Fan.
What'd it do?
Ahoy!
What up?
Hello.
Why don't you take your butt out of here?
Bro. I feel like there's a lot of shots. Shots are fired. Yeah. Purpose pitches around here.
Yeah. Crazy Eyes McGinley, our crack engineer, who we have said multiple times is the best thing this building has going for it.
Besides you.
Yeah. He's been feuding with the bikers for really probably about 2-3 years now. And I feel like he has now turned his attention to another, more dangerous foe, that being, according to him, my fat feet.
No. You are nowhere near the top of his feud list right now.
No?
He is feuding with the homeless who have taken up shop at our towers out by the airport.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Yeah.
Aren't those, like, fenced off?
Yeah, can't you just...
People are winding up on the pathway towards it and staying there.
Oh.
They found a boat filled with garbage in the way. They had, like, 5 cars with people hanging out another day.
Wait, it's a whole outside thing. The fence?
No, on the path. I don't know if it's outside or inside the fence. On the path towards the towers. Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Well, if there's one man that's going to clean up the homeless problem in this community, it is Crazy Eyes McGinley, because he gets stuff done.
He'll give it hell.
Yeah. So, you know, the other day, my feet... they knocked us off the air, and we came in today, and there is a sign posted on the door saying talk one, which is the room we're in, new and improved. And, it's something alluding to the fact that it has now been, it's been secured against, quote, my fat feet. I believe that is, officially talk one now with new and improved spacing for Sook's fat effing feet. That is now posted on
Boy,
the door.
If that is not deflection, I don't know what is.
Yes.
He's taking a page out of your book.
Yeah, which, by the way, I'm kind of impressed, because this is normally what I do, but I can't really deflect because he has put one into the corner and I really can't get it out. Now, looking down underneath, though.
Should be our poll question today.
There have been major improvements. My fat feet could no longer knock us off the air.
Yeah, he's come through here and done quite a number on our studio, which yes. I would not complain about this.
No.
Except.
You're going to complain about this.
Well, look, we have very few needs here. Mm-hmm. You know, I think one of the reasons we're still here is that we just shut up and do our show.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when you do have a need, you go to Crazy Eyes McGinley. And I will say, along with what you just said, he
gets stuff done.
And he gets it done fast.
Yes.
For you. He's like, what do you need? Yeah. Like, here's what I need. Mm-hmm. All I asked for. Mm-hmm. Was a power strip.
Yeah.
So I could plug in, because I put my, what is this thing called?
It's a tablet.
I put my tablet here in front of the show computer. Mm-hmm. And I need a place to plug it in. So he got me that. And it's under the table. You couldn't even see it.
No, it's what he
does. From your vantage point. It is now gone.
Oh.
It's now gone.
He's removed it?
Yeah. And I believe that is high and tight from Jeff McGinley.
Yeah. You want to
saying, hey, you wanted this? Yeah. Yeah, why don't you retract what you said on the air the other day about this getting off the air thing being my fault?
Well, I will tell you that I tweeted out a photo of the...
By the way, he's in there.
He's in there.
He's watching.
He just yelled, gone. Gone.
Which one was it? Was it the one
Yeah, over here.
All right, I'll replace it for
you.
Big ninny.
There's our engineer.
That's
crazy eyes right there.
It does.
He just called me a big ninny if you couldn't hear.
It does look amazing because underneath the console were just a quagmire of wires that you wouldn't believe. And that was what my foot stepped on and knocked us off the air. Well, the sign was posted today with new and improved spacing for Sook's effing feet. And when you do look underneath there, it's crazy.
Like he's cleaned it up.
He has cleaned it up. It looks like a completely different area. I mean,
Did he like cut pieces of the desk out?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Don't you think that means he knows he was wrong?
Yes.
He has made it so that you can no longer kick us off the air
it
with
your
feet.
It is impossible for my feet.
Which shouldn't have been a thing in the first place.
Exactly.
But he's blaming your feet, but he also, behind the scenes, he cleaned up the
mess. Because if it truly was my feet's fault, there wouldn't have been a need for some sort of massive redo. But there has been a massive redo.
Exactly.
Look, again, I'm willing to take my fair share of the blame with my large feet. I still think it's 70-30, and I think he realizes that it's 70-30 as well. And that sign posted on the door shaming the size of my feet, I feel like that's all that is him trying to grapple with the guilt and deflecting, which, again, I appreciate because that is a go-to move for me.
Bottom line, he was more at fault than you.
Yeah.
He knows it, and he's come in here and rectified the problem. Now,
yes,
he's still blaming you publicly, but...
But I'm okay with that.
That's okay.
I'm all right.
We get it.
I'll take the public shaming as long as we're not knocked off the air anymore, and I will tell you from the looks of it, if I do knock us off the air at this point, then that is 100% on me. Because this does look like it's been Sukanic proofed. My baby Huey ass, I do not believe at this point, even if I wanted to, could kick my feet and find a way to knock us off the air. It looks very nice down there. And I can now see your beautiful tootsies when I look through there.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Yeah. How do I look?
Oh, wow. I got to go see what they've done.
Yeah. So if I want to now, I can get a look at
I don't get pedicures or anything. I just,
at Rob's hobbit feet.
Yeah, there's my feet. My feet are kind of tan. Did you notice that?
Yeah, tan and hairy.
I enjoy tan feet.
How do you tan your feet?
Is that your fetish?
No, I just think it, I hate the golf, like of all the golf tans you get from playing a lot of golf.
Sure.
The one that bothers me the most is the ankle. Is the feet and ankle tan.
Now, you probably don't have this. Well, you do on your forehead. The worst one is the head tan.
Yeah, but I even that out.
You balance it out?
I'm not Stuart Sink.
There is nothing more shameful. And even guys with hair, they still get the forehead tan. Boy, you see that sometimes walking around during the summer. You're like, my man, you got to balance that out.
Yeah.
Like when I golf... I'll go like every other hole. Like I'll take off my hat and then, you know, you take it off for one and then two, you put it back on and you gotta go a back and forth sort of thing. Otherwise you end up with just the worst tan line known to man.
So I tan my feet by putting barefoot.
Oh,
that's what I do.
Makes sense.
And they look so sexy now.
If you're into hobbits, they're very furry.
Yeah, but they're sexy.
My daughter.
Sexy furry.
My daughter, years and years ago, when she was like four.
It's a new thing.
Three or four was in here. She saw your feet and dead serious asked if you were a werewolf. Little old Ren was cruising around on the floor, like playing with some, like a little matchbox car or whatever, and saw your bare feet and looked right at you and said, are you a werewolf? That is the level of fur that you are bringing to the table.
God, these are great.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting here admiring them.
Yeah, you are. You're just staring down at them right now, longingly. Mm. Feeling pretty good about it.
Mm. Hey, you guys want to talk sport? No. Okay, weather question.
All right.
My wife and I had a hot weather debate today.
Oh, boy.
Because, you know...
Boy, it is hot and heavy at the Rob household. That's how you steam it up.
Hot weather talk.
Yeah, after being together for 20 years, how do you get each other going? Weather talk.
So
and tanned hairy hobbit feet.
That's right.
She loves them too. Like, I pointed them out to her the other day. I'm like, hey, what do you think of my feet? She's like, ooh.
Yeah, check this out. She's like, all right.
Panty dropper. Mm. But not in my house. Just theoretically.
In general. Yeah.
So we had a wild wet Sunday. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
I do.
2 days ago.
It was quite wet.
She asked me, would I rather have 21 straight days of that? Because I was bitching about it, right? Like I hate
Well, probably interrupted the rain. Your golf game.
Well, I played, but then I got home and I was wet, and she was like, and she wasn't. And then she was like, hey.
I don't think she is very often.
Was it wet out there? I'm like, no. It was pouring.
Yeah.
I was soaked. Yeah. And then she says, I'll give you 21 straight days of rain or 60 straight days of 120 degrees.
Hmm.
And I took not even a hesitation.
You went with 120?
Yes.
Really?
That's really hot.
It is hot.
Because that's what it is in Phoenix.
Yeah, that's Phoenix, like, worst part of Vegas.
It's bad.
Hot. Yeah,
it's bad. Hot. That's bad. Like, well, and there is a difference between 110 and 120.
Sure, and here it's way worse, too, because at least in Phoenix or in Vegas, you get the dry heat. Here, you're going to get 120 and it's going to be muggy. So you're talking like that's Southeast Asia sort of hot. You don't want that.
I'll take 60 days of that.
Nah.
I'm taking the rain.
I'm taking the rain. Mm. Now, if you told me I could have Vegas or Phoenix 120, I think I would probably go there. But again, you're not getting that here. There's too much moisture. And you're going to get, think about how muggy it's been the last couple days. Now crank that to 120. That's no bueno, man.
Somebody said, why do white people get tanned? I just don't get it.
What do you mean? Because it looks better.
Yeah.
Is there
why would you not get that?
Is there anyone that doesn't look better when they're a little bit of a golden cookie?
Right.
Versus white?
You look healthier.
Absolutely. And here's the
sexier.
Thing.
Sexier.
If you are, I always say this, like there's a lot of bald guys out there that are afraid to be bald. Like they hold on to the scraps of hair. And I'm like, dude, just let it go. The key though, is that if you do shave your head, you've got to get some color up there. You cannot have the Casper or the powder head. Otherwise it's you look too much like a penis. You've got to get some color up there.
The worst is the sunglasses tan, says one of our texters.
That's not good.
Making you look like a raccoon.
Yep.
So that's the same as the hat tan.
Same sort of thing.
Yeah.
We had...
anything on your face. I mean, you've got to even that out.
We had a real bad one. If you played football, especially when they had two-a-days and you were in a warm location like us in Utah or down in Florida, the football tan was horrific because it was so spotty. One, you would get face mask lines. So which was real fun. If you can imagine, just think about any sort of face mask that was permanently tanned into your face. And then you would get wrist tan because you would have your wrist taped or finger tape. You would get knee brace tan. And then you had the world's worst farmer tan. And some guys would even wear like elbow sleeves. So only like a part of your forearm and then upper arm were tan. The football tan during two-a-days is just, it's not pretty. That was the, by far the worst. Even some of the black guys would complain about it. And there's just nothing you can do about it. There's no way to even any of that out.
Yeah, somebody said tan fat definitely looks better than white fat.
Absolutely. So. Look at Polynesians. There's a reason why the Polys can be as big as they want, still roll around and feel great about it. Tan fat.
It's universal.
Yeah, it's just way better.
All right, let's party.
Yeah, all right, let's go.
I want to party.
I'm ready. With two R's, extra mayo.
Now, the question is, do we Eric Spoelstra level party? Or do we just sports talk party?
I have so much question about the Eric Spoelstra thing. And I think Sprague, he may be pleasuring himself to this 6 or 7 times.
Brandon Sprague.
Yes.
A morning show fan.
His tweets.
But I don't understand.
His tweets.
I'm confused. Like I said, I have so much question that I would like to ask about this.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll let you ask those.
Yeah.
Maybe we're going to do the Eric Spoelstra party.
Internal discussions. I've also had a lot of internal discussions as well.
I bet you have.
Lots of internal discussions.
Well, look, I said a month or so ago, Spoelstra riot. So here we are.
Yeah.
Let's go get our man.
Here we are for what? Like,
let's go get Spoelstra.
Riot?
Well, if you don't, yes, then riot. But
by the way, this guy's saying, my 8-year-old is asking why you're not talking about basketball. What should I say? Dude, have an honest conversation with him. Come on, be a parent.
Yeah.
We're talking about important stuff.
Tell him to shut up.
Wait till the next segment when I talk about my internal conversations. It's about to get very uncomfortable. And you're going to have to explain some things to that 8-year-old.
What if we come back and talk about baseball? Then what is he or she going to ask?
That 8-year-old mind blown. Hot golf talk? Because I think that's what the 8-year-olds want.
Hey, you know what? I think they do. The poll question pertains to golf.
Why would you do this, Doug?
Why did you do this? Because now you totally reminded me that we have to talk about DeChambeau Koepka.
Yes.
Because the pairings for the U.S. Open are out.
They are.
Did we get DeChambeau Koepka?
I'm sorry, everybody. To that little 8-year-old out there now having to listen to golf talk, I'm sorry.
Basketball talk just got pushed all the way down to the bottom.
Did you hear that excitement in Rob's voice? He remembered that golf was to be talked about.
Clip that. 316 on the Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, here's our poll question today, brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling, a family business helping families for over 50 years. AAAIAQ.com. It is located on our website, 1080thefan.com. Which is the raddest individual sports rivalry of recent years?
Did you say the raddest?
That is right.
Wow.
Do you know what that means?
Yeah, I do. I just haven't heard the term rad since maybe like Rad Racing.
Yeah.
That great movie.
Great film.
Yes. Starring Becky from Full House, the great Lori Loughlin.
Is she still in prison?
No, they only went to prison for like 4 days.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, what?
They're out.
They went to prison for a shorter amount of time than the other one.
It was not.
Who's the other? Felicity Huffman?
They may have gone for slightly longer than that, but there was no. I think Mossimo might have done a little more than she did. I'll look that up.
I bet they served
him
more than 4 days.
It was not very much.
Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Sid Crosby, Alex Ovechkin, Rafi Nadal, Roger Federer.
Now, did you throw the Crosby?
Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau.
Did you throw the OV, the Great Eight, and Sidney Crosby in there because of your vast hockey knowledge? That just seems seems like an odd one for you to throw out there.
Why? That's a great rivalry.
I understand that.
I know
just
my sports.
Just coming from you, that seems a little odd that you would throw that one on there.
Why?
I don't know. I'm a little,
you don't know.
I find it a little odd. I'm guessing that someone,
well, I'm thorough.
Did either that, or I'm guessing you found a list of the best rivalries and you just threw that up there.
No, that was actually the first one. Actually the second one that came to my mind
are you aware of
Nadal
where,
Federer,
of where Alex Ovechkin plays?
Washington.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. In your face, wow. Bitch.
By the way, Lori Loughlin, she was sentenced to 2 months in prison. I don't think she served the full 2 months.
How do you know?
Because it talked about her early release date. So,
how long did she serve?
I don't know. I'm trying to.
They only got 2 months.
2 months.
And they were the ones that, like,
they
pressed.
They were defiant about it. Hmm. And they had to pay a $150,000 fine and 100 hours of community service.
Do you think she'll do the community service? She probably has to, huh?
Yeah, I'm guessing their community service, though, is going to be like something ridiculous where she really won't do a whole lot. Like, she'll provide makeup for disadvantaged children or something.
Wouldn't that be cool, though? You're like cleaning garbage on the side of the freeway and on your crew is Becky.
Lori Loughlin. I had a buddy of mine that I played with, and he did community service with Robert Downey Jr.
Hmm.
Remember, he... Like now he's,
what'd he do?
Well, you don't remember his, like he ran into some real bad problems. He had a huge drug problem and like he got all messed up and broke into someone's home and
whoa.
Yeah. Like he was, people forget now because he's like such a huge star and the Iron Man and all that, but he was really in a bad spot to where no one would hire him. And he was arrested several times And yeah, he had to do community service. He was doing some sort of cleanup, like picking up trash or whatever. And on his crew
sweet,
was Robert Downey Jr. Now, to be fair, it wasn't like Robert Downey Jr. now doing community cleanup. He was kind of...
Strung out Robert Downey
Jr.? Well, and he was an afterthought, right? He wasn't that big of a star anymore. Yeah. He just, it was more like, oh my God, you're the guy from Weird Science. Like, but yeah, he was on his work detail. And my buddies was for like assault and, you know, something like that. And then he was picking up garbage alongside one of the great stars. That's like his little claim to fame now, which is kind of sad, but he does have that.
Robert Downey Jr. is the guy that I love most that I'm almost positive I would hate if I knew him.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
He falls into that category for me. I feel like I've got a pit in my stomach about if I just never want to meet him because I like him. And so
I think everyone has,
I think he would disappoint me.
I think everyone probably has
and
one
be
of those.
Insufferable.
Sure. Mine is like I'm a big Social Distortion fan and Mike Ness, like I've been a fan since I was a little kid. Mike Ness is their lead singer, and I'm terrified that if I met him,
he's awful.
Is he
awful?
I don't know. He just seems. I'm afraid.
On that note,
I would be afraid to meet him.
Let me ask you this. Now you're probably going to punt on this because you can never say anything bad about Metallica.
Yeah.
But how did you feel when you learned the drummer for Metallica is one of the world's largest douchebags?
I had known that or had heard that because it's
yeah, but
it's
how
not
did you
true.
Feel when you first
he
found that out?
He was always very nice to me.
Total douche.
He's always been nice to me.
Oh, don't act like you know him.
I do.
You've met him twice.
And he's been very nice.
God.
I think
he's a douche.
I think that has been universally known, and so it didn't come as a...
Take off your metal glasses and be honest.
That did not come as any sort of surprise.
I know, but when you first found it out, you were like, oh, man, I thought maybe he'd be douchey. You said, well, you weren't surprised, of course,
yeah.
Because look at him.
Yeah.
And watch how he plays. But then you're like, he could also be super cool and chill, but he's not at all.
No.
So... Then you probably thought, oh, my God.
I think there is certainly an element of that. The first time that I got to, like, be around that, it's my favorite band since I was a little kid, I got to be, like, side stage at a big music festival that they were at. And so I got to watch it from kind of the backstage thing. And it was interesting because...
And the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
And the Chili Peppers, where I may or may not have smoked a joint with Flea.
When he doesn't smoke joints.
When they got, no, not at all. When they got off the stage. So like they finished their set, right? And the band comes walking off and I'm just kind of standing there.
Which band?
Metallica.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, this is so cool.
What's
right?
his name? Lars?
Yeah. And
Ulrich?
So, yeah. And then, you know, there's a little area back there and they get off stage and get toweled off and then they take them away to the, you know, whatever dressing room, whatever. So the other three guys just kind of walk off the stage, you know, and they're no big deal. Lars like runs off the stage and there's a guy. And by the way, it's like 100 degrees outside. It's in Detroit. It's all hot and sweaty. There's a guy waiting with a full on like white giant robe with a hood up and he throws the hood on him.
Like a boxer.
And they throw the robe on him and they like whisk him away, like run him off. And he gets on the golf cart and the guy just peels out of there. And just bolts off. And I was like, that's about right.
Maybe he had to drop a deuce.
Because everyone else was just milling around, you know, kind of congregating with some of the other bands. And it was like James Brown leaving the stage. And it was just like, that's kind of par for the course. I think everyone that's a fan of that band just kind of accepts the fact that he is.
You just have to come to grips with it.
He's a little eccentric. But, you know, there are definitely those guys.
A little eccentric.
Well, when my brother met Ken Griffey Jr., he was really nervous. Like anytime you meet your heroes, it can be, you know, it can be a little challenging. Gordie Howe was one of mine, and that didn't go so well. You know, it happens.
Yes, people are douchebags. Yes, that does happen.
Yeah.
But Lars Ulrich takes the cake, and you totally skirted that. But I understand why. I get it. We'll let you off the hook on that one.
Greatest rock band of all time. And
all
he
right.
seems like a delightful person.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah.
What is the raddest individual sports rivalry of recent years? Log on. You vote hard. 1080thefan.com. We did not get Bryson Brooks. They will not be pairing them together at the U.S. Open.
Cowards. Why wouldn't you do that?
We'll talk about that and the Eric Spoelstra report coming up. But first, Mike with SportsCenter.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
You know, this is my favorite rejoiner, this song here.
Yeah.
It gets me bumping every time.
Is this on your workout mix? Workout mix, like when you sit in the sauna?
No. Not yet, but it should be.
You said you wanted to have a party Eric Spoelstra atmosphere, so.
This is it.
This is totally random, but
definitely screams it fits. Spoelstra party. Who is this?
This is Fool, F-O-O-L, but like with periods.
I probably hate the song, right, outside of that little riff there.
I mean, that's maybe kind of mostly.
I mean, it's already starting to get.
That's most of the song, though.
Lame. So.
By the way, I looked it up. Robert Downey Jr. has been arrested over a half dozen times for various drug and alcohol-related things. Mm-hmm. Says that it started in June 96. He was stopped for speeding on the Pacific Coast Highway, where they found cocaine, heroin, and a pistol in his vehicle. And this is the good one. A month later, he was found passed out on a child's bed in a neighbor's home.
Oh, boy.
Whoops. 3 days after that, he was arrested again after he left a recovery center and was found under the influence. And then he was jailed in 99. Was sentenced to 3 years in prison. And,
so, look, he's an addict.
Yeah, yeah. But now he's been clean for a long time.
Has he?
And
good?
Yeah, yeah. And now he's like one of the biggest stars in the world.
Who do you think you would like less? Joaquin Phoenix or Robert Downey Jr.?
Boy, I'm going to go with Joaquin Phoenix.
I think so, too.
Joaquin Phoenix seems, unfortunately, like the, Daniel Day-Lewis?
Yeah.
Look, I understand that acting is a tough job, but come on, man.
Yeah, like, they take it way too seriously.
You're not Abe Lincoln and you're not Johnny Cash. So I get that you're playing Johnny Cash. I get that you're trying to get into character, but... My God, let it go.
It is a little much.
It's stop. I think at least
it's very pretentious.
Yes, and I think Robert Downey Jr. at least understands that what he's doing, he's very lucky to do, and that it's not splitting the atom, and he's not curing cancer.
All right. Well, we're not going to get Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka at the U.S. Open unless they get paired up over the weekend.
Yeah,
and that would be by score.
I was so hoping because the U.S. Open, the USGA has done this in the past where they put together some interesting pairings that people want to see and. I can't, for years, outside of Tiger and Phil, find me a better pairing that people want to see than this.
Yeah, so the report was, and it was Brad Faxon that threw it out there, that the USGA, who runs the U.S. Open, and by the way, there is no more, well, there's only one other entity in golf that is stuffier than the USGA, and it's the Masters. But the USGA is right up there. Like, you want to talk about serious.
Yeah, they got a cob somewhere.
No question. The report was that they called DeChambeau to see if he would be okay with playing with Brooks, and he declined. That there is no way that that's true. The USGA does not call people to ask them whether or not they will pair them together.
Are you okay with this? What is he going to say? I'm not playing in the US Open?
So dumb. So I don't like Bryson DeChambeau, but at the same time, when he says that did not happen, because he has come out and his agent has come out and said, nobody ever called me from the USGA. I believe him. That did not happen.
Yeah.
So, and they don't have the ball. USGA doesn't have the balls to put them together because they know it'll, you know, it'll take away from their championship. You know, everybody, it's what everybody wants to see. Why on earth would you do that? Right.
Yeah. It would, so, it would get a giant number, especially for the early
people would watch, rounds. But at the same time, it would be the most disappointing thing ever because you wouldn't see anything. They're both going to be out there playing golf.
And like they're pros.
They're not going to be,
it's not as if they're going
to start wrestling.
Yeah. They're going to get into a fist fight at some point.
And they've played on the same Ryder Cup team. Yeah. Like I don't know.
They are pros. What's the same thing like if Tiger and Phil play
right
back when there was a rivalry? They are professionals. So I just think it would be a lot of, it would get a lot of eyeballs. People would very much be interested. I know I would be.
Well, I know the spectators on the grounds would be for sure.
Yeah.
And that would be a circus. Like if I were, and I would say this, if they did ask Bryson or Brooks, although Brooks may want to do it because he knows more people are on his side, but why would you want that circus? I wouldn't. If I were them,
yeah.
I mean, dude, they're trying to win a golf tournament. That sure. You think the spectator's going to leave that alone?
Yeah.
That would be a mess. Now, it might be great for TV,
but probably not.
But not great for those guys. So, I wouldn't blame him if he did turn it down. Did you see the other?
It still would be great though if we came in on the weekend
and they were paired together.
On any of those, and they got paired together simply because of their their placement.
Well, maybe they shoot the same score and they are.
Yeah.
Fingers but crossed. Yes, the USGA does put pairings together that they think are, I mean, they usually put the past champion with the amateur champ, which they did with Bryson DeChambeau and the guy who won at Bandon.
Yeah.
And then, they put the Masters champ in with them, Hideki Matsuyama. So they put Phil
stuff.
And Xander together because they're both San Diego boys. And so they do some stuff, but there was no way they were going to put Brooks and Bryson together. Did you see the other Brooks-Bryson feud before we get to Hot Spolster talk that we are ignoring and trying to ignore?
The other Brooks-Bryson?
Yeah, so there's another really fun sports feud that is a la Bryson and Brooks that nobody knows about. They just wrote it up in The Atlantic. And it's...
I don't know if I've seen this.
It's Garrett Cole and Trevor Bauer.
No.
They were on the same team at UCLA.
Now, there's a lot of people that hate Trevor Bauer. I mean, that's get in line.
Okay, so obviously in that scenario, Garrett Cole is Brooks Koepka.
Yeah.
And Trevor Bauer is Bryson DeChambeau.
100%.
Cole is like this, he's always this wonder kid coming up, like could throw 100 miles an hour, stud, congenial, cool, everybody loved him. And Bauer's this little weirdo.
Thinks outside of the box. You know, he's doing
his... aloof.
He's doing it his own way. He thinks he's smarter than everyone else.
It's worth a read if you want to look it up. If you have an Athletic subscription, go just... It's Cole versus Bauer at UCLA. I don't know what the name of the article is, but it goes through and it talks to people who are there and nobody really wants to talk about it.
Yeah.
Like it's like they could not... Garrett Cole hated Trevor Bauer. And of course, Trevor Bauer and Bryson DeChambeau are always the ones that get hated because they're weird.
Yeah.
They're strange. I don't know that they hate as much as the cool tough guy.
They also intentionally push buttons, though.
No question. They're great at it. And that's what makes it a great rivalry is Bauer did, like they would say that Cole and Bauer, and they were an awesome team at UCLA. Cole would go out and throw 8 shutout innings with 13 strikeouts. And you better believe Trevor Bauer would need 14 strikeouts the next game and 8 shutout innings or 9 shutout innings. And they said, you know, so they kind of sugarcoated it like, oh, at UCLA, this was great because they were just, you know, it was friendly rivalry. It was not. They hated each other.
Well, and I don't know why.
Like, and probably still do.
You know, the basketball teams are small. Baseball teams are a little bit larger. And so maybe that's part of it. But, man, every team I played on from when I was a little kid through high school to the college to the NFL, there were guys that hated each other all the time. I mean, that was not a uncommon occurrence on a football team, but I think because of the size of it, maybe it doesn't get as much, pub. And the fact that offense and defenses, people don't realize this. They really are separate teams. When you're on a football team, it is not kumbaya. The offense hangs with the offense. The defense hangs with the defense. And a lot of times they don't even practice together until certain points when they all come together. But I knew plenty of guys like that were big time players that hated deep inside with a fiery passion, Stars. It usually just happened on the other side of the ball. Occasionally you'd get one on the same side, but in football, those just don't get talked about as much as when you have the rivalries in other sports.
Yeah. I think it's common in all, all offices, all teams, all schools. It just,
well, you remember like, who's it? Przinski, right? Was one in baseball. Jeff Kent apparently was a classic one. Like no one.
Is that Greinke?
Yeah, Greinke. There's just some guys that are that are kind of hard to get along with.
Yeah, it's interesting though how Cole and Bauer really resemble Bryson and Brooks though. Like they're very, the personalities are just are very similar. Did I say Athletic or Atlantic?
You said the Atlantic.
Okay,
you said both.
I did. Okay, it's in the Athletic.
Okay.
So
the Atlantic is a publication. So
yeah, but this is sports, and the Athletic is See, you know. Like, athletes. So go look it up. It's worth a read.
Okay.
On the sports douches.
It is good. Like I think it's interesting in sports when you get, I think you need sports villains. I think every movie needs a good villain. Every sports team. It's nice to have villains.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of fun that you've got.
Who's the biggest villain in sports? Like who are the top villains? Cause I have a hard time rooting against Trevor Bauer. I don't like DeChambeau.
Yeah, he's a good one. I think he's the biggest villain in golf, hands down.
DeChambeau?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because I think it's almost, I'm not going to say it's like universal, but he rubs a lot of people the wrong way.
Yeah, he does. And so does Bauer, though. But Bauer seems to be kind of steering into the skid a little bit.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Saban's a pretty good villain right now in the world of college football.
There is a ranker on this. Top 10 douchiest people in sports. You know who's number one? Your boy.
Who?
The Juice.
Oh, well, he is a...
All the murderers are at the top.
He's a double murderer. What do you...
I don't think there's anything wrong with partying.
How about active?
Yeah, I was going to say, because he's not... Active. Yeah, he's not...
Well, you got different archetypes. You know, you have, like, the douchey Bryce Harper type. You have the douchey LeBron type.
See, LeBron's a good one.
You have the douchey Bauer DeChambeau. You have the douchey Brooks, Garrett Cole, cool guys.
You have the defiant cheaters, like... Carlos Correa or Alex Bregman.
Patrick Reed.
He's not really anymore because he's not doing anything, but Floyd Mayweather was a ridiculous villain. I mean, that guy made so much money off of people hating him and wanting to see him get his ass kicked, and it never happened. He is a great sports villain. Draymond Green is a really good villain in the NBA. All those years when Golden State was rolling, he was a great villain.
But I like him. I never hated the Warriors. I just always enjoyed watching them.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
But a lot of people did, and he played that role, and he played it beautifully.
All right, there's hot douche talk on the fan. All right, fine. We'll talk Eric Spoelstra. If you want to talk Eric Spoelstra, we'll talk Eric Spoelstra.
Now people are asking who hates who at the fan. Let's go.
Ooh, I got one.
You got someone at the fan that you hate?
No, not that I hate, that hates me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Will Darkins does not like me.
Really?
Yeah, we've butted heads over... Well, we haven't butted heads, but I think I've pissed him off more than once.
So you don't
I'm a huge Will Darkins fan, by the way. But
you're always,
I just saw him in the hallway. He doesn't say a word to me.
You're always...
He's very weird.
You're always propping up Will Darkins.
I love Will Darkins.
But he doesn't
but
like you.
Personally, our relationship is quite icy.
Interesting.
Yeah. Quite icy. Who else? Wow.
That sort of rivalry.
Yeah.
Well, we're not around a whole bunch of people. I mean,
that's true.
The shows don't have a ton of interaction.
Yeah. Love Mike. Mike, who do you hate at the fan? Come on, spill the beans.
Nah, I'm good.
I know Mike hates a couple of people. Hate, that's such a terrible word. Less hate, man. Why do we need to talk about hate?
Show more love. Yeah, hate is hate is a strong word.
Hate's not the right word, but just, you know, I mean, sometimes the personalities, they don't get along.
Yeah, look, I have no ill will, but there is someone that was here that probably everything that I thought or believed in, he was the exact opposite. I truly do think
but you didn't have a rivalry or anything.
No, there was no rivalry or anything. We never had any kind of bad blood.
Which everybody here was pissed about.
But I just feel
he
could not have disagreed with me on more. I was just any sort of life philosophy, sports, anything.
The old days?
He just was the opposite.
When I was just a little young buck around here.
Yeah.
Colin Cowherd was here. Kenny Vance. Dave Shore. Bill Jackson. John Lund. There were other personalities in here. I tell you, those guys would get after each other.
Really?
Yeah.
Stir the tea. Stir the pot a little bit.
The tea was a-flowing back then. I remember Vance and Colin yelling at each other in the hallway. I don't even know what about.
Something.
At that point, I was like, oh, God, I need to duck into a studio.
But I would say we really don't have that here at the station.
We don't.
No.
Let's start one. Start a feud.
We start picking on Dusty. Dusty's like the most.
Haven't you already been doing that for many years?
That's true.
Well, we pick on everyone, but it's out of love.
It is out of love. I don't think there's any malice with anyone here in the building.
Love the listeners. There are a few texters we hate, but you know who you are. But the listeners are fantastic.
Yes.
All of you. Well, 97% of you. There's 3% of you that are.
There's 3% of everything. No matter what it
20,
is.
20, really, but we're only going three with our audience. We feel like we've weeded out all the dip S's a long time ago, but there's still a few scragglers.
We've driven them off.
All right, Eric Spoelstra talk. The thing about Eric Spoelstra next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suit.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, let's tee up the Eric Spoelstra discussion. Now, there are a lot of things to discuss here, believe it or not, even though there's really no... The only thing we have right now is there was a report from someone who I think is from the Miami side of things who said that Eric Spoelstra was being discussed internally by the Blazers staff.
And then
like, I think it's really sexy.
And then Sprague was just over his skis about this. And he said that he had a source that was saying that this is true, but
I'm not sure that's what he said. Let me pull him. I saw one of his tweets.
Yeah, what he did. He said that this story, pulling it up.
He said, if the texts I'm seeing are to be believed, there could be like a grand slam situation coming.
Let me
something.
Just read it. Okay. Yes. He says, the Spo Blazer stuff is so loud right now. Guys, what I'm seeing on text right now is enough to make you cry happy tears. Need it to be 6 a.m. already so I can talk about this stuff on air. Pivotal franchise moment and the possibility to hit a grand slam is right there.
So again, I'm confused. So the only thing I've seen is that the Blazers are having internal discussions with arguably not with, about the second or third best coach in the NBA. So wouldn't it make sense that if you had an opening that you would have internal discussions about one of the very best coaches in the NBA?
I actually don't think it would, because I think that Spoelstra challenges and sort of threatens the Olshay throne. You know, because I think the way you get an Eric Spoelstra is to offer him front office power.
Well, supposedly that's the thing down in Miami, is that when Riley steps away, because Spoelstra's under contract, by the way, you'd have to.
There's a lot of reasons they're not getting Eric Spoelstra. Let's just put it up. This is just my point of view. Sprague may scoop everyone on this, and I have no insider knowledge. First of all, Spoelstra is by a mile the best the Blazers could do. By a mile. If they get him, that is a home run. That said, they are not getting him. There is just no reason he leaves Miami for Portland. He's got a better roster in Miami. He's got one of the best head men in charge in the NBA in over 50 years.
He's in line. He's in line to get his job when he steps down.
Who's not getting any younger.
He has a contract already that you would have to trade for or just give Miami. Why would Miami want to let him go?
There's no state income tax.
Haven't there been rumblings down there that maybe there was some unhappiness with the players and him?
Possibly. It's possible. Sure. I mean, I still think that, well, let's come back and talk about it. There is actually a lot to talk about with Eric Spoelstra. Of course, he's a Portland guy.
Yeah.
You know, UP guy.
Yeah, this
high school.
Jesuit high school.
Yeah. Jesuit high school. And has a lot of family here or has. And he's got a lot of sources or a lot of friends and stuff here too. So I would, at first I would say, you know, we'll come back and we will talk about the Eric Spoelstra thing, okay?
The internal discussions.
We'll title it the Eric Spoelstra segment.
I would also like to report that I have heard sources close to me saying that I have had internal discussions about getting with Halle Berry.
Nice.
Can we call it the Eric Spoelstra souffle?
Yes. There you go. I love that. The Eric Spoelstra souffle is next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.